Well, it is a great honor to be here, and I can speak for these other missionaries that this is one of our favorite places. That being said, when we look out into your faces, we know that many of you that we've known through the years, and there are new people, but you've gone through great trials and testings and tribulations, as everybody does. And the key and the goal is to keep the church, to keep the body together. Satan would love to disperse the church. He would do anything and everything that he can to divide you. And I don't, if you've been coming to church here very long, you are aware of that. And there are people who have problems. There is no one here this morning that does not have problems. Every one of us have problems. But the uniqueness of the body of Christ, if we're following the Word of God, is that we love one another. Now, we know that God loves us. We know that because there'd be 100 times He should have just struck us dead because of our stupidity. And yet He didn't. And so how we love one another is through Him. And you'll have some weak ones. You'll have, and some of us may become weak. And I'm referring to myself. And we need to love one another. We desperately need that. This is not my message, but I feel an urgency to give you this. There's a pastor in San Luis Potosí, Mexico, Luis Ramos, that his children, when they graduated from high school, 2 of his children went to the world. I love Brother Luis Ramos. And it broke Brother Ramos's heart when that happened. I've been in his home. I've stayed in his home. I've preached in his church a number of times. And when that happened, Brother Ramos came to his church, a very large church of around 1,500 people there in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. And he stood before the people on a Sunday evening and he resigned. He said, "I do not feel worthy to pastor this church because of my children." That church got out of their seats, came all of those people. Now, there wasn't 1,500 there that night, but a great number of people, and encircled he and his wife and said, "Pastor, you are not leaving the church. We are not allowing you to leave the church." And they prayed all night long in that church for that pastor. And I'm going to tell you, that's love. That is love. Now, I have some friends that in my great times of trial latched on to me and would not let me go, no matter what. And you're going to have to do that if you're going to have a true church that loves. That doesn't mean that you embrace the sin. That doesn't mean that you love the sin. You understand that. But we love our members and we love our people. And we're not condoning the sin or something that's wrong that they're doing, but we love them. And we're going to encourage them. You see, how can we have a Great Faith Promise Conference? And how can we enlarge that, as Brother Todd was telling us this morning? How can we do that if we're not growing spiritually? We can have a Faith Promise Conference, and we can even give more than we gave last year, but it may lack that power because the love is not there and the servant spirit is not there. The joy is not there. And that's what your pastor looks for. That's what makes him a great pastor. Because he loves you. And more than that, he loves God. Because if he loves God like he should, then he's going to love you like he should. And you may judge him wrongly. How many of us have not judged our pastors wrongly? We've all done that. But because he's a man of God, he doesn't whimper around and cry As old Dr. Paul Vannon would tell us, if, fellas, if you're afraid to get out of the closet, then don't stick that nose out. Because as soon as you stick that nose out, somebody will take a punch at it. And that was a preparation that we received when we were in Bible college. Because the ministry is not easy, but there is great joy and there are great rewards in it. So I want to encourage you to live by faith. That's what this conference is all about. Faith. Trusting God. Believing in God that He will help us and take us all the way. Amen? Now let's take our Bibles. We're going to be in many places, and I hope, as I've encouraged you in the times before, you're going to have to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You're going to have to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're going to have to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter... That's all right. We'll just, as we go along, I want to encourage you to write these things down. Some of you have them memorized, and some of you know them very well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, As touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Father, bless your word. You've already given blessings upon it because you said that it would not return void. And so, Lord, as it goes forth today, help us to understand. Help us to perceive. Help us to accept. Help us to increase in our faith. Lord, that it might be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, does God need me? I mean, in my pride, I want to think that God needs me. I mean, I really believe Connie needs me. I mean, I want to believe that Connie needs me. But you know, I travel so much that she seems to do very well without me. And that makes me a little nervous sometimes. And when I get home, sometimes now I can understand, because this is the first time in my life that I've been so much away from my wife. Now I understand about Brother Kimmel and all of that, and why he needed to go home just to maybe sometimes beat his wife two or three times into subjection to make her know that he is the boss. And all of us other missionaries knew that he was not the boss. Ramona was the boss in that family. But he wanted us to know that he was in charge. And she's such a great lady. She allowed him to be in charge. And so thank you for doing that, Ramona. And so we all have that tendency to feel that we are needed. And I think God put that in us. But when it comes to the realm of God, we think God needs us. I'm somebody really, really special, and He really, really needs me. Well, when it really comes down to it, God has allowed us to work in His fields. And what a joy that is for Him to allow us to do that. I remember as growing up when my father would allow me to do things that I really desired to do, but did not have the capability of doing it. I thought that I did. And I remember my father allowing me to do some certain things. I remember my father allowing me to have the key to the soda machine at the gas station. But it wasn't long he took that key away from me because I abused the authority that I had. People would give me tips. They would say, because it was a full service gas station, they'd say, "Son, let me buy you a pop. I said, "No, sir." I said, "If you don't mind giving me the money, I have the key to the pop machine." Well, it wasn't long. Dad said, "Give me that key back." We had these candy dishes. You wonder why I love candy so much? He had candy dishes, and there were four big bowls with this metal lid on the top of it, and there were all these candies in here. And it was near impossible to take that lid off without it clinging, without it hitting the side of that glass. And I could hear my father say, "Steve, get out of the candy. You're eating up all of our profits." I can remember him saying that. But we all wanted to feel needed. I would go to the gas station, and I was kind of a neat freak. And I would, on Saturday, I'd work all day Saturday, and I'd organize all of the oil and everything. And I said, "Now, Dad, when I come back next Friday, this better not be messed up." Next Saturday. Every Saturday, it'd be all messed up, and I'd have to redo it again. But he allowed me to do some of those things, and I wanted to feel needed. Well, God didn't need me when he created the earth. He did just fine. When he divided the Red Sea, he didn't need me. He didn't need anybody else. But he did all of those things for us. And I think that's why the Macedonians that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 were so willing to give of themselves because they had received the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And they could do nothing less than serve God and give as they saw the need. So, I'm not so sure that God needs me, but He's allowed me to labor for Him and to work in His vineyard. And what a wonderful privilege that is. Now, to do that, He has supplied everything that I needed. Now, we realize that God has given a promise. And that promise starts way back with Abraham when he said that he, through Abraham, would bless all of the nations of the earth. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was a promise that God gave. And so this week we've been giving instruction about faith promise, about what we're to do. We've been giving some inspirational stories that I hope that's been inspiring to you and encouragement. But we really are down to the bottom line here where we need involvement and we need your involvement. We missionaries are involved not only, as the pastor mentioned, we're not only involved in giving a faith promise, but we've taken the next step and said, "Here's our lives, we'll go." Now that's fine. If God hasn't called you to go, you're not to go. But you are to be found faithful and to serve Him with all of your heart. And I hope and trust that you are doing that. And so we have the promise of God. For some reason, I'm getting a lot of feedback on it. Is it this fan, maybe? Can we turn this fan off? But I hear something. No, it's this thing, because I can hear it. Anyway, if it doesn't bother you, it won't bother me. Good. As long as I know it's not bothering you. All right. He's given us the promise. Now, can we trust Him or can we not? If He tells us that we're to tithe, and if He said that he would bless us abundantly if we were to do that, then what should we do? We should tithe. And we should give to Him. Now, some churches do not practice faith promise. They give a 10% of their total budget to missions. And then they slap themselves on the back and say, "Wow, look what we're doing for missions. They're not really doing anything for missions. They're robbing what God had given them to take care of their Jerusalem, of their church, and they're trying to use that to supply all of the need around the world. You see, I don't think that God's going to bless that. Now, I have churches that support me that way, and I'll continue taking that support. But I don't think it's God's plan. Because as Brother Todd mentioned, there isn't enough money that we could collect that would meet the need of the whole world. We have to give what God wants us to give and then allow Him to multiply that, because we've given it in faith and we've given it in obedience. And when we do that, what is that to Him? It is pleasing to Him. He looks at us as His children and says, "Wow, look at my children living by faith and living by in obedience. I'm going to bless them abundantly." Now, either we believe that or we don't believe that. And I'm afraid that many Christians don't believe that, or they are afraid to practice that because they've never experienced it. But we give plenty of testimony from others to let you know that, hey, there isn't anybody that's going to stand and say, "Hey, I did that and God didn't bless me." I've never heard a testimony like that. Not heard one that has said, "Hey, God told me to give this amount without a shadow of a doubt. I gave it. I gave it on a weekly basis, and God abundantly blessed me." It may not have been the next week, but I'm going to guarantee that sometime during the year, they're going to want to stand and say, "Pastor, I must give a testimony of what God did for me." And that encourages others, and it should encourage us or those who have not participated to get involved and say, "Hey, I want to participate in that." So we have a promise of God. He said, "In thee shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed," in Acts 3:25. He said, "All the nations shall be blessed," in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Then He's given us all the power that's needed. This church and all of its resources would not muster up enough power to accomplish very much. Now, there's churches in this town that have built a building that might do good things and good works. But when it comes to the power of God, it may definitely be lacking. There's a short circuit somewhere because they don't have the power of God. And so when you and I give of our lives by faith, living for Him, we will be amazed at how the power of God will be manifested through us. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "Ye shall receive power." That's another promise of God. In Matthew 28 verse 16, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Some say, "Well, that was only to the disciples. That was only to the apostles." Even if it were for, as He was speaking to those apostles, the principle is there for the church to march against the gates of hell. Are you saying that Jesus is not going to be with us? Are you saying that He's not going to give us the power? I always ask those people that use that verse and say, "That is not for the church." "Oh, then what does it mean?" "Well, that was for the apostles." So God's not going to give the church the power that we need to march against the gates of hell? God's not going to give us all the resources that we need? I think that He will. And He gives us the potential. The potential is not just within 3-mile radius of Open Door Baptist Church. You might think, "Well, the potential is just to reach those around here." The potential is the regions beyond, to the ends of the earth. That song that we heard, that special this morning, I can only imagine what these other missionaries were thinking, and some of you that have flown into major, major cities, if you've ever flown into New York City, Bangkok, Thailand, or Manila, or South Korea, or Singapore, or Mexico City, or San Jose, Costa Rica, and you see the multitudes of people, and as those words were being sung, I just thought, boy, We just see millions and millions of people passing us. Just go out here in the front of the church and watch the people going down the highway there. Hundreds and thousands of people going up and down the highway that seem to have no direction at all. And you and I have the answer for them. And so the potential is to the ends of the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." That's you. That's the church. Your work of faith. "And labor of love." Of love. Listen, you might say, "Well, ours is a loving church." If it's a loving church, it will be a church that's laboring to love. Because to love doesn't come easy. And not everybody is lovable, and not everybody it's easy to love them. Sure enough, there'll be somebody after this conference that say, "Now let me ask you, are there any Puerto Ricans here?" No, no Puerto Ricans. If there were, and you did not like mother-in-law jokes, I guarantee you they'd already gone to Brother Todd and said, "I don't like those jokes." But there may be somebody after the service or after this conference say, "I don't like those jokes." Now, you're not perceiving. He's not serious. Well, I don't think he's serious. Well, maybe he is serious. I don't know. But I don't think he is. We have to perceive. Do you know what perceiving is? I hope you do. Two men were on the shore of a lake. One of them had a dog, a very special dog. He picked up a stick and he threw it out in the water. That dog ran out there and picked up that stick and ran back. Now, you might say, "Well, that's nothing special about that." But that dog walked right on top of the water. Didn't even get his paws hardly wet. Picked up that stick and came back. The guy standing there watching that didn't say a word. He threw it out there again. Dog did the same thing, came back. The guy still never said a word. He said, "I can't believe that guy hadn't said anything. He's probably never seen anything like this." Threw that stick out there again. That dog went and got it, came back, walking right on top of that water, came back. And the guy didn't say a word. And he looked at him and he said, "Well, what do you think about that?" The guy said, "What's wrong with your dog? Can he swim?" Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you wouldn't say, "What's wrong with your dog? Can he swim?" I hope that you have enough perception to say, "Wow, that is an amazing dog." Can we not do the same thing about Faith Promise? Some are sitting here and say, "Well, this is the 35th Faith Promise Conference. Okay, what's so special about it?" You're not perceiving. You're not seeing Peter walk on the water. "Oh, yeah, but he fell." But he did walk on the water. Could you do that? No. So perceiving. He says here, "I've seen without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Have you received the word in much affliction? I think we have. "But with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Your faith. Plantation Baptist Church in Plantation, Florida is taking the Word of God to the ends of the earth through one of their missionaries that's a member of that church. That's me. And the church up there near Dayton is sending it to Costa Rica through one of their members. And same thing with all of the missionaries. But what about your church? how far will you go through your faith of sending the gospel around the world? I've told you before. In a few months, I'll be in another church in Hagerstown, Maryland. It'll be the fourth or fifth time I'm in that church. That church of 30 or 40 people have four full-time missionaries on the foreign field. And they give over $155,000 to missions. Never seen anything like it. How do they do it? Most of their members give over half of their income to missions. And I've been outside there. They don't have spectacular jobs. They have just normal jobs. And they do not drive pieces of junk cars. The worst car out there was mine. But God has blessed them abundantly. And the pastor's nearly blind. He can barely see. But he's one of the most godliest men I've ever seen. Because he loves God. And he's given his life to Him. And so the potential is here. That's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. The potential is with you. Let me tell you about the Macedonians. This blessing can be your blessing if you will serve God, if you will give your life to Him. Faith promise, missionary giving. Its principles are fundamental. There are different methods of giving to missions. But I believe this is the method that God has ordained. Because it's a method by faith. And those are the things that God blesses. It's practical giving. It's scriptural and systematic method to support world evangelism through the local church. It's individual giving. Well, my wife and I give together. That's fine if that's how God has led you to do that. But I see young people and children and teenagers and moms and dads and grandmas giving individually because they want to participate. The little girl that I told you about, that I've told you about every year, that gives to Faith Promise. Remember the little girl that came forward and asked her daddy, if I pray that you find better junk along, no, she didn't say better junk, better things along the side of the road, will you give me part of it? I just met her just a few weeks ago, again, in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I asked her, I said, how did your Faith Promise come in last year? She's 12 years old now. She's been giving to Faith Promise 4 years. She said, God gave me my Faith Promise, and every year I've increased my Faith Promise. It isn't a large amount. It isn't hundreds of thousands of dollars. But her story has been told into hundreds of churches and motivated, encouraged children and teenagers to get involved in giving to missions. She would sit there and she sat there again, listening intently for what God wanted her to do. Now, some of you are listening intently, I know. Because you've got your eyes closed and you're meditating upon every word that I'm saying. Now, I'm purposely not looking at you because I don't want you to know that I saw you. I won't look. I'll look. Go ahead and wake up while I look at this wall. Thank you, Pastor. I'm just kidding. I haven't got the love offering check yet. It is practical giving. It is a statement of intention and not a pledge. It's a statement saying, God, I love you. And I want to take the gospel into all the world. It enables the church to support missionaries and to go a little further. It is grace giving. And grace is dynamic. Grace will produce something. We've always heard that love produces love, doesn't it? You love your wife and she'll love you. I know that we live in a sick world and we live in a complex world, but just like gravity, you throw something up and it comes down, but somebody's going to prove that wrong. They're going to say, well, the scientists are going to invent something and try to go around what God has established. But the principle is, if you love, that love will produce. If a man shows himself friendly, he will have friends. And so there's a principle there. And so this grace giving is dynamic. Dynamic in the sense that once we were dead in our trespasses, once we were on our way to hell, and now God saved us, we're on our way to heaven, He's changed our lives, and once we lived for the devil, now we don't want to live for the devil, we want to live for God. And we want to love Him and serve Him. Try to explain that to a lost man. He doesn't understand it. And he never will understand it until he sees the light. And once he sees the light, he says, oh, that's what that's all about. And he tries. And then that guy who gets saved tries to share that light with another guy that has no light. And he can't understand why he won't understand it. Do you remember how you didn't understand it? It becomes natural for the believer to give. It is heart-giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and that and not according to that he hath not. Willing participation. It's a joyful offering. It's a demonstration of love. It is a committed offering. We read those verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God has... there's no surprises with Him. There was no king in Israel there in Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a wicked time. And yet, there were godly people living during that time. We live in a wicked world, do we not? And yet today, there are godly people living today. God wanted a prophet by the name of Samuel. He was going to work a great miracle through a lady by the name of Hannah who could have no children. God put something in her heart, a desire. It was natural. And what was natural in her heart was to have a child. She was barren. She could have no children. God knew all of that. And so there was a burning desire in her heart to have a child. And she said, God, if you will give me a girl child, I'll give that girl back to you. No. If you give me a man child, I will give that child back to you. God put that plan and that purpose. It was natural in her heart. God needed a man by the name of Samuel, a prophet, because he had great plans and great purposes for that man. And he was going to work a miracle in Hannah's life. And Hannah said, God, if you give me a man child, I'll give that child back to you. Now, what did she do? God answered her prayer. God gave her a child, and she gave that child back to God. And God blessed her abundantly, and she had more children. There's great principles. You don't have to go very far in the Word of God to find these principles that can be applied in your life. We will apply that here today in Faith Promise. Now, I hope for some of you that have never participated in Faith Promise before, I hope that you'll start today. Preacher, I don't know a lot about it. Well, can I encourage you in a couple ways? Give. Well, I'm not sure it's a real act of faith. Well, can I encourage you to give something? And then can I encourage you to pray about that? And then can I encourage you to say, God, during the year, you've blessed me abundantly. And, Pastor, would it be okay? I gave this amount, but God has blessed me abundantly. Would it be okay with the church, and would it be okay with you if I raised that? Would that be okay if they did that? Well, sure it would be. And I guarantee you, that will probably happen. That will happen if you pray and you ask God. Now, I'm talking about somebody who really doesn't know, somebody new that doesn't know exactly what God wants you to give. Give. It's not your tithe. It's over and above that. And then pray and say, God, help me. Now, you that have been participating in Faith Promise, trust God. Ask Him, God, what do you want me to give? Maybe He's laid that amount upon your heart. And it doesn't It's not in accordance to your present circumstances, because God already knew that. He already knew Hannah's present circumstances, and He knows yours. But by faith, well, preacher, I don't even know if I'm going to be here throughout the whole year. Well, just put it in your will. Never thought about that one before, but that'd be a good one. Just put it in your will and you'll be able to fulfill it for the rest of the year. That'd be great. That'd be a great thing to do. But if God has given you life and He's given you breath, then you act in faith because you've received the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's dynamic in your life and you say, I want to do something for God that will please Him. Because He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Will you be obedient in this area? And a joyful and a cheerful giver. Pastor, come please.